Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Hour number two with my fabulous, somewhat unexpected, extraordinary, 60 minutes worthy, frickin' Daily Show. Should have interviewed her, but unfortunately, it's only a Daily Show. Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Damn good with an introduction. Like, can you tell me a little bit about what you've been up to recently?
Exposing scumbaggery, breaking news stories, exposing charlatans in the CBD industry and medical marijuana industry.
In a funny looking way or just in a general kind of way?
In a, oh my God, they're freaking out kind of way.
Elaborate.
I wrote last month about the International Cannabidiol Organization of Manufacturers and Research, ICAMAR.
A cannabidiol, is that the one where you like just pick up the phone and they deliver cannabis to your residents?
Who doesn't wish for that? But
well, this, you know, in New Zealand we've got taxis that do it. They call it quality cab.
They do. Oh my God, that's not happening here.
No, it's not happening here either. I was just making it up.
Oh, too bad.
Look, you can say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
Yep. Well, this group is a watchdog group, and what they do is they use independent laboratories to test products. One of the products that they've recently tested was Ultra CBD. Ultra CBD claims to have 200 milligrams in their product supplement of CBD. However, with an independent laboratory test done by Iron Labs, with two products, one that was sent directly from Ultra CBD and one that they purchased online as a secret shopper. And the conclusion that ICAMAR got from the laboratory test from the first that was purchased directly out of retail showed that it doesn't contain 200 milligrams of CBD, it contains 26.52 milligrams of CBD. So you're spending $40 and you're getting a fraction of what you should be getting as far as cannabidiol content. The sample that was provided directly from Ultra CBD was also tested and it showed that it contained 9.78 milligrams of cannabidiol in a 30 to 32 milliliter bottle. So think about that. You've got $2.80 worth of cannabidiol and you're spending $40.
Have you heard of food package inflation? You know how like
no.
they make a can slightly skinnier or slightly taller or something like that and then reduce the amount that's actually inside it so it sort of looks the same size but there's actually less stuff in it and they sell it to you for the same price?
What we have here is a situation where they have a tiny fraction of what they're claiming. Like I said, $2.80 worth of CBD. And in one test, 26 milligrams. And then in the test directly from Ultra CBD, 9.78. That is ridiculous. So this article I wrote...
Let me guess. They're afraid that if they actually give people the full strength... it'll actually perform stuff that's ridiculously good for them and word will spread and people will stop the massive pharmaceutical drug market cartel's hold on Americans' health.
Let me put it to you this way.
That's just a total stab in the dark. I'm sorry.
No, you're not that far off. It's not a total stab in the dark. Alan Frankel, who is a medical doctor in California and a huge supporter of the use of CBD and one of the founders of the movement, one of the people who actually got medical marijuana an issue, got everything together several decades ago and actually made it the what it is today. Here's what he said when he was asked about Dixie Dewdrops, Dixie X Dewdrops, who repeatedly in independent laboratory tests lower CBD content than what they claim. And here's his response. For some people, taking 1 or 2 milligrams of CBD a day has a positive effect. And since they're used to and they respond to lower doses, it's not a big deal that these companies are selling product with lower doses. However, Dixie X Dewdrops claims to have 100 milligrams of CBD, and they don't. They have, again, a fraction of what should be in there. It only contains 45 milligrams of CBD, not 100. So in order to explain this away, one of the founders of the movement says, oh, well, you know, people respond to low doses, so that's why we give them low doses. Then why don't you say it only has 45 milligrams of CBD instead of claiming 100?
So if I said to somebody, look, I know you respond well to thinking that you own gold, so I'm going to sell you this gold bar, which is actually gold wrapped around a tungsten bar, which has about the same weight, and you're going to think that you've got a whole thing of gold there. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Especially if you pay me the exact amount that an entire gold bar would cost, right?
That is exactly what's happening here.
You know, because you still feel good. Ooh, I got something that looks like a gold bar. Mm-hmm.
Well, think about how much of the product you'd have to take to get to what they claim it is. You'd have to purchase more and more of it.
Well, the doctors out there prescribing, I want you to do 200 milligrams, you know. Or is there like some people injecting this into people's arms and stuff? He needs 200 milligrams of CBD stat. His eyes falling out of his head.
Oh, let's move on to doctors. Because, you know, the idea is the doctor shows up in the lab coat with the stethoscope around their neck, and then, you know, that's an authority figure, right?
If you say so.
Well, people think that when they see a doctor, you know, 4 out of 5 doctors recommend this toothpaste, even though it's riddled with fluoride. But
I don't know, because like 4 out of 5 doctors are douchebags.
I don't go to 2 medical doctors tried to kill me with both of my children. I'm done with them.
I once heard that 9 out of 10 people enjoy gang rape. Doesn't make it true.
Whoever said that is an idiot. Well, there's a company called Doctors Trusted, and they are, quote, and this is on their website, okay, folks, I'm not making this up, I can't make this up. They are a consumer protection organization that, quote, consists of seasoned entrepreneurs, qualified doctors, and experienced marketers working together to make the internet safer for consumers buying health and fitness products. I didn't stutter. It's a group of doctors, entrepreneurs, and marketing people. What does this have to do with making sure that your product is safe? Because by their own admission, they are a group of people whose interest it is to sell products. So what Doctors Trusted does, and a lot of CBD and medical marijuana websites are selling you products, they use Doctors Trusted. In fact, Hemp Meds PX, which is one of the biggest, uses Doctors Trusted. And when I'm done explaining to you what this charlatan organization does, you'll realize that this is all just a joke to get you to think that because a doctor's face is on there and a doctor wrote a review, that the product is what it says it is and that it's safe.
Very similar to those Harvard studies where they just tested people who were in front of a Harvard, you know, authority figure. Hey, electrocute this guy to death. All right. Yeah,
exactly. Because we think that when we see a doctor, there's a semblance of authority. They're using that age-old tactic to market to you. And so Doctors Trusted, their goal is to, quote, create a safer environment online for online shopping, allowing customers to decide quickly whether a website meets acceptable safety standards, whether the website, not the products on the website itself. They look at the website to make sure that it's claiming things that are not in conflict with what the FDA says here in the United States. And they just look at the website and make sure that it is not violating rules and regulations of the FDA. They do not, by their own admission, they do not test, and I'll quote them, we do not test the advertised products for potency. Yet they intimate in their reviews that these items are what they say they are and that they're safe. In fact, one doctor who works for them is Dr. Daniel Hanley. He endorsed Ultra CBD, the company I was talking about earlier, that sells the product that claims to have 200 milligrams. In one test came out 26 milligrams, and another test came out 9 milligrams. So what doctors trusted Dr. Hanley wrote in his review of Ultra CBD was that the website was, quote, trustworthy and safe for consumers to purchase products at the time of the review.
That sounds an awful lot like the standard line for fluoride. Oh, it's safe, it's effective, it's safe, it's effective. How many times do we need to repeat it? It's safe and effective.
But they don't test the advertised products for potency, so how can he say that it's trustworthy and safe? He's
incidentally, not tested. Incidentally, they don't test fluoride levels in New Zealand water or people's urine, or we've never done a study to justify it either.
Exactly, and we've got a product here, folks, that is amazing. The U.S. government has been testing cannabidiol since 1940, and they finally patented it in 2003. This has been shown to tell cancer cells to turn off and to tell other cells not to bring them food or care for them or even hang out with them, and then you expel it naturally. This chemical, we have receptors for it in our brain and in 7 other points in our body, on organs in our body. And that is how we are made. We are made to take this in. Animals as well, because most of the studies are done on animals before humans, and animals have these receptors as well. So think about that too. If you have a dog or a cat who's sick, you might not have to take them to the vet and get them the therapy that's being offered by the doctor who is being paid by a pharmaceutical company to administer to your pet. You can give them cannabidiol, and they will get healthy. This stuff works on arthritis. It works on inflammation. It breaks the blood-brain barrier. So it's been shown to alleviate symptoms of depression. In fact, the National Institutes of Health is getting together and doing a study in 2015 on AIDS patients. Okay, when MH17 went down and everybody was like, oh no, maybe the cure for AIDS died on that plane. We already have a potential cure for AIDS. And the government in the United States will be testing to see if that is a viable cure starting next year. So, you know, don't worry about that garbage. But we have this that is available now. And as far as the FDA is concerned, it's a food ingredient. So it's not regulated. Now, I'm not a fan of the FDA, but this is an unregulated industry. And here's what happens when you have unregulated products. You have people who sell you products who don't contain the amount that they say it does. So you're not going to get the effects that they claim you're going to get, because you'd have to take triple, quadruple, or more of the product in order to at least get what they're claiming.
And of course, you can't afford that.
Who can? Because the cheapest thing that Canaway sells right now is the Canaway Chew, which is the gum. And you have to understand that with CBD, the best way to take it is orally. Preferably.
Who can afford it? I think U.S. Standard Oil employees could afford it, you know, shareholders perhaps.
Well, the Canaway Chew is $249 for a month's supply. And that's the cheapest thing that they sell.
You know, they could have just made it $420 and it would have been way more awesome than that.
It is ridiculous. There's a company called Hookahs, and they are selling, their marketing strategy is that it's cool and it's hip and it's sexy.
Because we're hookahs.
Exactly, because the hookahs, and they've got, the products are incredibly marketed. It looks like that Monster Energy drink, you know, it's got like really cool graphics and
I can just like imagine. I can just imagine myself chasing the CEO down the street. Bitch, where my money? Where my money?
I got to tell you this, and I got to get back to doctors trusted for just a second in Dr. Hanley. Because when I looked up this guy, and I wanted to find out who this guy is, because he's not testing the products and he's claiming that they're safe and he's claiming that everything's cool. And this is just not what's happening. And so he's putting his name behind this. Why would he put his name and his license? He's a medical doctor. He actually is a medical doctor. He is a medical doctor for hire. His reviews cost anywhere between, and I'm not kidding you, between $100 and $6,875 is the highest that I found he's been paid for a review.
So does he take his clothes off during this? Is it a live mail review? Or,
No. He just says your website is compliant with the FDA, but he says it in a way that makes it sound like your products are safe and efficient and what they claim to be. And
it's like a ghostwriter for the pharmaceutical industry.
Except he's working for the CBD industry and the medical marijuana industry. You know, HempMeds PX, which is one of the biggest names out there, is certified not only by Doctors Trusted, but also by Dr. Hanley, who also certified Ultra CBD.
Well, and he's probably able to do that because he is certifiable.
It's ridiculous. You see his name when you go to Cibidex, when you go to Canshu, when you go to HempMeds PX, when you go to Ultra CBD. He's the doctor that they paid to review. Like, it's ridiculous. Wouldn't they think that, hey, we're all in the same industry, we're all pulling the same wool over their eyes, let's get a different doctor? No, they don't do that.
These guys are practically like a chorus line.
That's how stupid that they think we are. And unfortunately, folks, they're not that far off. Because we're not paying attention. We're so enamored with the idea that we have medical marijuana. We're so enamored with the idea that we have CBD and we can purchase it and we can do this now. And in some states, it's legal. And in some states, it's even more legal. And in some states, you've got at least the medical marijuana part legal in a sense. We're not paying attention to the corporations that are coming up. They're for profit, folks. They're not here to help you. Okay? They don't care about whether or not you get healthy. They care about whether or not you buy their product. And their job is to make their product look better than everybody else's product, more hip, more fun, more sexy, more accessible. They put Dr. Hanley up there if you need a medical doctor's review of it to say that it's safe. They've hit all the corners in order to get you to market to you, to get you to buy this product.
I just fail to see how they can make Dr. Hanley sexy and with the product and stuff and the juxtaposition what do they have him wearing? Some kind of like a marijuana bush bikini on?
No, this is the Hookah's line of products. They sell it as like a vaporizer. And so the container that it comes in, and you have to keep purchasing these containers. You can buy one with like a skull and crossbones, and it's all flowery, like a tattoo artist would do, or something from Betty Page, or you know, throwing back to different genres of people, so that they'll find it hip and cool. It's like when McDonald's started doing that "Loving It" commercials, and then all of a sudden, like these really cute 20-something-year-olds were having a good time eating McDonald's food, which never happens.
Well, because it's only
like,
got.
Oh, I look hip. I look cool. I could eat McDonald's too.
It's very difficult to feel hip and cool when you're eating 15% real beef.
Or, listen, folks, their version of beef isn't always beef, okay? Because it's 100% beef at Burger King, except it's not beef, it's horse. The 100% beef at Taco Bell is not cow. It's not bovine, like you would assume when you see the word beef. It's horse. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that we shouldn't eat horses. I'm not saying that we should. I would like to know that my burrito won the Kentucky Derby instead of won the first prize at the state fair.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you can go out to somebody in Taco Bell. Is there a horse in this taco? And they go, no. I can't help it. I've been waiting to say that joke all day. It's at the right time.
This is
it was actually originally a Robin Williams joke on his sketch Weapons of Self-Destruction. He was talking about how Arnold was like really, really strong and stuff way back in the day, and he asked him, you know, Arnold, are you taking horse hormones? And he's like, no!
Oh, man.
Did I just make you lose your train of thought? I'm sorry about that.
I saw this video that Adam Kokesh did. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Adam Kokesh, but it was a very compelling video about how Robin Williams may have passed away. And I really hope that that's not true because, man, that's horrible. It's horrible. Go watch the video. That's all I'm going to say.
If you want to know how much of a tragedy Robin Williams' death really is for America, watch his film Man of the Year, where he plays a comedian that wins the U.S. presidency.
I grew up. I think one of the first movies I ever saw him do was Popeye, and I was a little kid.
I did not know he was in Popeye. I didn't even know there was a Popeye movie. I thought it was just a cartoon.
No, there's a Popeye movie. He did that with not Shelley Long. Woman who was in The Shining.
I guess I'm just... Oh, that's Duvall.
Duvall, yeah.
Shelley Duvall.
She played Olive Oil.
Yeah. Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall.
You can't make this stuff up,
folks. They did a good job of bringing it to life. They did a really good job. It didn't look campy at all. But then again, it was in the 80s, so everything was campy. But... yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Go watch the video. It's really compelling. There's no way to verify that, but if it's true, oh dear God, you know.
Yeah. Well, was he actually even alleging that?
That it was autoerotic asphyxiation.
What, he was doing it to himself, huh?
That there's a movement. I don't know. There's a fetish to cause yourself to asphyxiate, and then that's somehow pleasurable.
Yeah, choking while shagging. Yeah.
Well, but like with like how he was found, with a belt around your neck, a plastic bag.
That actually starts to make a real sick feeling in the pit of your stomach right away, doesn't it?
It made me, yeah, because Kokesh played the initial report from the police, which they gave all the details. And he described what could have been an accident with autoerotic asphyxiation. And there's no way to prove that. I'm not saying that that happened. I'm not saying that I know anything. But it's a very compelling video. And it's bothered me ever since I watched that video. Because there's no way I could prove that. I wouldn't even bother looking into it. But if that's what happened, I mean, that's a horrible accident. And to discover that, it must be terrible for the person who discovered that, if that's true. Because then you've got this scene and the first thing you think is, oh my God, this is Robin Williams. This is not how he can go down. See, people don't realize Robin Williams is going to be coming out in about four or five movies over the next 12 months. And I think several of them are kids' movies. So there's no way on this earth that it could come out if that's how he died, that's how he died, because that would kill all the movie sales and all this money that they've put into making these films that are going to be coming out, unknowing, you know, not knowing that he was going to pass away.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when you're doing something naughty, there's a little part of your brain that goes, if you die right now, this is how they're going to tell your mother they found you. Don't do it, folks.
If you're famous, this is how they're going to tell the world.
Don't choke your chicken, literally, folks. It's not worth it. I just really made something quite bad there, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Because it's so personal.
Conveniently, we're going to break. We'll be right back.
Every breath we take together, I don't ever. Oh, oppression, you prey on us when we sleep. Oppression, you chase after the tired or the weak. Oppression, you know you mean only harm. Oppression, you reach out with your long arm. But oppression, I won't let you near me. Ah, no. Oppression, you shall learn to fear me. Yes, you will.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now the final segment on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with the magnanimous, the glorious, the historious with Pistorius. I don't even know what the hell Pistorius is. I think it was some kind of South African dude who killed his wife. Suzanne Posel, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's kind of freaking random, isn't it? OccupyCorporatism.com is the website, as well as the US Independent. .com. Okay, now there's a couple of elements I wanted to really expand on with you. I mean, the political landscape actually is one thing that's really starting to irk on me, considering it's like election time here in New Zealand, right? And I was just remembering during the last US election when Barack Obama got elected for a second term, and it was like live on the radio. And the election results had come in. Barack Obama won, as I thought he probably would, much to my dismay, of course. It's not like the other guy would have been any better. And I just decided, you know, this whole process is really stressful. It's really disempowering. So it's time to get drunk, right? Shot of tequila on there. Anybody else out there, you know, you're getting over the election, have a shot with me, I said. And just recently, dude, Nicky Hager, who I've had on the show before, haven't been able to get on since, but he wrote a book called Dirty Politics, and in it, it details a lot of really nasty little stuff going on inside the US political scheme, and guess where they learned all their dirty tricks? The US Republican Party. Yeah. And apparently, everybody knew this already, and because several books had come out before Dirty Politics, by authors like Ian Wishart, who's just got his new book out, Totalitaria, and Ben Vigen, who wrote State Secrets, and who's bringing out a new book soon as well. These guys have already exposed all this kind of dirty stuff, right? But the thing is, they pushed the envelope, and I think this is the real problem inherent, Suzanne, in any kind of reporting, any kind of exposure of scumbaggery. If you tell people 1% of the truth, they'll keep listening to you. They'll love you forever. Tell them 100% of the truth, never want to listen to you again.
Yes, actually something similar to what you're talking about came out. We heard about William Thompson. I'm sure you heard about it too, and Brian Hooker, who came out with the CDC and whistleblowing about these autism studies on the MMR vaccine, where information concerning African-American boys was suppressed and their susceptibility after receiving the MMR vaccine to developing autism. That information was cut out. And William Thompson has done several studies with the CDC and currently works at the CDC. And as this was coming out and everything was coming out around it, there was one gentleman, I won't mention his name, but when I talk about this, you'll probably remember. This one gentleman started writing a lot of articles about the whistleblower, about William Thompson. Originally, there was a YouTube video where a private conversation was put up by Brian Hooker with William Thompson, and they were discussing the parts of the studies concerning African-American boys that was taken out. This one reporter, who is a 30-year veteran, independent investigative journalist, written several books, very, very respected in alternative circles, wrote some articles concerning a anonymous source that he had, and the information that he was putting out was absolutely bogus. It was so bogus that when William Thompson put out his formal response to Brian Hooker putting out the private conversation on YouTube. He actually added in a response to this this independent journalist calling out that this information is not true. And let me just read you a quote from the media journalist, and here it is. Quote, William W. Thompson, PhD, the CDC whistleblower, was escorted off the premises of the CDC campus yesterday afternoon. This is what a source told me. Therefore, the CDC knows Thompson is the whistleblower and he's in danger, end quote. Now, in Thompson's response to Brian Hooker and his formal response to the fact that he is the CDC whistleblower, he wrote this, quote, my colleagues and supervisors at the CDC have been entirely professional during this entire matter, or since this entire matter became public. In fact, I received a performance-based award after the story came out. I've experienced no pressure or retaliation and was certainly not escorted from the building, as some have stated. Now, I talk about this a lot because there seems to be this exception to the rule. When the mainstream media talks about their anonymous sources and sources say and people's opinions are, we say, oh, that's bogus. The source doesn't exist. But when example of how when you claim anonymous sources, you absolve yourself from any responsibility and then put out absolute garbage that is not true, that muddies up the water. Because we have a gentleman, two gentlemen who came out on the same issue who are saying something absolutely true. The CDC has been caught several times, and I've written articles over the years about their suppression of information concerning vaccines, Thimerosal, and autism, including a study that was conducted in the 1990s and then finally published in 2010, where rice monkeys were given MMR vaccines with and without Thimerosal. The ones who did not receive the Thimerosal did not develop any autism spectrum disorder behaviors or symptoms, but every single one of the rice monkeys that got the Thimerosal all came down with autism spectrum disorder behaviors and symptoms. Okay, so there you go. Now, there's been more studies, and I quoted a lot of them in my article to give people an idea that this information has been out there, and the whistleblower is not blowing a whistle that we don't already know, but this is a recent study where this information about African-American boys was stricken from the publication before it went to print, and these two gentlemen know that that's true. And so that in itself is enough. That's enough sensationalism, folks. We don't need journalists in independent or alternative media putting out garbage, lies, claiming that a source told them that, when it's just not true. If you have someone saying anonymous sources, be skeptical of that. I'm a journalist. I get people giving me information all the time. If they can't give me the direct source, I'm not going to cover it. I'm sorry, folks, but a real whistleblower will come forward. In the United States, and I'm not saying that it's perfect, okay? But in the United States, whistleblowers have protection. They don't always get the protection that they're afforded, but they do have protection here. It's not as scary as it's made out to be, that people come forward and use their name and use their face. When people want to make up garbage, especially in the mainstream, they say anonymous sources or an unnamed official or someone close to the family gave us this information. That's bogus. And it's happening here with a 30-year veteran of this industry, very respected gentleman, now coming out with garbage to the extent that William Thompson himself had to respond to it just to make sure that people are not being misinformed. And the whistleblower should not have to be chastising people for putting out false information about his story. His story is sensational enough. It doesn't need any finessing.
What do you think is actually happening in terms of American journalism nowadays? I mean, is it in the golden age? Is it in a dark age? Is it in a plateau? In terms of the quality of reporting that we're seeing out there?
Well, we have two things happening. We have citizen journalism rising, which means that people are reporting on things, putting things on YouTube. Anyone can get a website and start putting stuff up. That is an absolute wonderful thing. However, we are so far removed from what the press was originally intended to be, a checks and balances, where you gather evidence, you interview people, you gather information, you may have a theory, a running theory during the investigation, but you never let your theory take over the information that you're receiving, because if you're receiving information that doesn't fit your theory, you have to scratch your theory. So depending on what direction you want to take the article, you're gathering information. You have to let the information tell the story. You can't have a directed motive before you're going to sit down and write this article. But we have a large percentage of people who are just haphazardly putting information out there. They don't understand what it's about. They're not qualified to make a decision about whether or not this happened with the Foley beheading. Before it came out that it actually is a hoax, there was a lot of people coming out saying, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. I asked publicly for someone who has access to open source or otherwise facial recognition software, which is not that easy, not that hard to get a hold of. I don't know how to work it. I'm a journalist, but someone qualified to be able to look at the video, look at pictures of Foley, and break it down and use the software in order to see if this person really is the person in the video or if it's someone else. We can't just assume. We know that they fake things, wag the dog, and we get that. We know that that's true. But to just automatically assume that everything is BS degrades the fact that there's actual real things happening. And when we dismiss the fact that they're actually happening by saying it's a hoax or it's fake or it's a false flag, it's a dismissal tactic where, whatever, it's happening. But real people are dying. Real people are being affected. Real things are happening. There may be a portion of it that is fake and the rest of it is true. We don't know. And real qualified people need to come forward. And the best part about all of this is the millennial generation has grown up with the internet and programs and open source information for years now. And a lot of them are very proficient at what they do. They may not have been formally trained, but they have taught themselves how to use this great technology. These people need to come forward. And maybe we need to set up a group of people who devote their time to actually debunking these things in a professional standard way where there is maybe some sort of, for lack of a better term, scientific method applied to it, an industry standard method applied to deduce where the hoaxes are, what part of it is a hoax, so that we actually know where we're being lied to and where the truth is actually being eschewed, instead of just watching a bunch of YouTube videos that just say, oh, well, this is all fake because I looked it up on the internet. There's a lot of garbage on the internet. There's so much garbage on the internet that it's insane. Anonymous sources, I don't even bat an eyelash. I don't care. You know what's real? There's an article circulating right now about Matt Drudge being an Israeli CIA agent. Now, I don't know if that's true, and nobody does. Why? Because the article that it's being quoted out of is coming from an anonymous source. Go figure, okay? Is Matt Drudge a neocon? Yes, he is. Just read his stuff. Go look at any interviews that he's done. See who he supports. Absolutely, he has those tendencies. However,
imagine for a moment that somebody is provably a murderer, provably a rapist, provably a pedophile, provably a fraudster, provably a psychopath, and provably a reptilian shapeshifting alien scumbag. All right? Now, do you approach with first, he's a reptilian alien shifting a scumbag? No? Why not? Oh, that's because People won't freaking believe it. All right? Put the stuff out there that's actually within people's grasp that you can easily prove. You don't need to talk about the in-depth stuff I've found a lot of the time. You just crack the surface open and the rock tips over and everything comes crawling out on its own.
Yes, and we also have to remember that factually based evidence is what we need to base our opinions on, our decisions. Think about it. If you go to jail, if you go to court because you're going to be sent to jail, you want factually based evidence to support your assertion. You want your attorney to get factually based evidence to do discovery to find out what the other side's facts are and be able to counter them with facts themselves. You don't want haphazard people from YouTube just putting up videos and then the jury just says, well, it's on YouTube, it said it was true, so it must be true. There are rules of evidence for jurors. Sometimes they can't, things are inadmissible, even though it was said in court, it's stricken. People say, it's still in the mind of the juror. Yes, but there are rules of evidence. I'm not saying that this stuff is always applied properly, but they are there. As far as journalism goes, as far as news, as far as quality news goes, we have to demand from the news sources that we go to that they provide us with facts and evidence to back up their assertions. If they do not, or they cannot, or they will not, it is tabloid journalism. It's the Weekly World News, and take it for what it's worth.
Can I ask you as well, when it comes to this kind of journalism, In fact, this isn't a question. This is more of a statement. I was on a radio show this one time, and these guys were doing what you said, tabloid journalism. They're saying, oh, well, this and that, blah, 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 because I said so. And I was like, well, guys, there's kind of like these rules of evidence. You've got to have like three sources to verify it, in the practice of journalism. And they go, tell us about journalism. The media's not doing any of that fact-checking, blah, 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 are they? And I go, well, you've made one principal assumption that is incorrect. And they go, yeah, what is it? That the mainstream media practices the journalism,
Exactly.
I mean, come on. Just because somebody claims they're a Christian and then destroys and kills and stuff like that and does everything that the Bible tells you shouldn't, doesn't mean that Christianity's bad, all right?
It just means the application of the religion is bad.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you ever seen anybody with a paintbrush that doesn't know how to use it trying to do a work of art? It looks terrible.
But then you see a Picasso or a Van Gogh and you say, wow, did that come from the same paintbrush?
Yeah. Like, if you see me working on a car versus my mate Dan working on a car, the one that I'm working on, I'll never run. Never. There's just no way. Because some people can do certain things, and there's certain rules and ways that they go about it that they understand, and they just go ahead and they do it. They didn't get gifted with it straight away most of the time. They actually had to learn through experience. Training of some description in some cases. You can't just take a camera, go out and be a journalist. That's why I still don't even claim to be a journalist. I'm just closer to simply being a douchebag with a microphone, comedian-like. That's about as closer to the truth than me claiming to be a journalist, because I haven't gone through the training. I often don't have a whole bunch of sources, but I'm not lying to you and saying to you that I know exactly 100% which is true and what isn't. And somebody says, what I'm practicing is journalism, and I said, no, bro, I'm just being honest, all right? And that means honest enough to admit when you're wrong. And unfortunately, a lot of the people who claim to be journalists never admit when they're wrong, or print retractions as big as they print their main headlines.
Yes. And so my question is, if a 30-year-old veteran of independent journalism is caught putting out garbage under the guise of anonymous sources, how long has this been happening? How long have they been doing this? Are they trustworthy? Because when I write an article, I find sources. And if it's an anonymous source that I'm quoting out of a mainstream article, I make it very clear. The anonymous source, the unnamed source allegedly claims, because it's an allegation. It's not a fact. And because this person refuses to give their name, they could be anybody or nobody. It could be a unicorn that ran in front of my house today. I was talking about that today on Facebook. The possibility of things is not what we should be looking at. It's the probability of something happening that we should be looking at. Yes, it's possible that a unicorn is going to run in front of my house, but what's the probability of that happening? Very low. So guess what? It's probably not true. It's just logic. And when you read an article in the news, you expect that you are receiving fact-based news. You trust, and that is where you're wrong. You should not trust the person on that website. You shouldn't trust me. You shouldn't trust any of us. You should click on our source links and make sure that we're telling you the truth. That's why I have at least 20 source links in an article. I want you to see what I saw when I was doing the research. I have nothing to hide, but I'm a minority amongst my peers. And I think that that's sad, because the tabloids have moved from the check stand to the internet. And no one can tell the difference, because anyone can have a website that looks awesome. And people think, well, you know, the website looks good, or lots of people go to it, it must be accurate and true. No, there's garbage coming out from both ends. And because people believe in the person who's telling them, because people put their trust and loyalty in that person without knowing that person personally, ever having dinner at their house, ever hanging out with them and the kids at the park, you assume that there's a new thing that's happening, and it's not just mainstream, it's happening in alternative. It's called native advertising. Have you ever heard of this?
Well, when the advertisers just, you know, go native?
I thought that at first, but what it is marketers for products come to places like BuzzFeed. And when I wrote this article, the senior public relations director at BuzzFeed emailed me within 2 hours of my article going live, which I thought I took as a compliment, because I never know who's reading my stuff. And I thought, wow, they're really on the ball. The reason why they responded to my article is because I was explaining how they are one of the kings of native advertising. And when I describe to you what this is, you've seen this in alternative media as well. We all have. We just didn't realize what we were seeing. So what native advertising is the editors at BuzzFeed and Forbes magazine, The Atlantic, several others, will get together with marketing directors, and they will write an article that denounces other things and then gives you the solution, which is the product that they're actually selling. It's a news article that is written just like a news article that is put together with other news articles amongst the front page of the website or the categories where it falls under, and you wouldn't be able to tell. In fact, 50% of what's up on BuzzFeed are native advertising articles. These are infomercials, okay? They're telling you that this thing is bad or this thing is happening and you should buy this product, because they're not doing that. And for legal purposes, right up at the top, right under the title of the website, like the Forbes magazine or the BuzzFeed, it'll say in little tiny font, sponsored by GE or sponsored by Mountain Dew. You would never look up there. You should look up there now. Or it'll say just at the beginning of the article, sponsored by GE or whoever. And the entire article is designed to get you to purchase the product. That's what they're selling you. And we see this all over the place. I've seen this even in alternative media, where the article looks like a news article, but it's actually selling you a product. Now, this is, to me, as a journalist, like the death of journalism. Because you can't, the articles are written so that you couldn't tell the difference between an authentic news article and a native advertising article. So you're already being marketed to under chicanery. And it seems to be okay with the people at BuzzFeed, because they say, well, it's not that we're lying to our customers and our readers. It's that the editors are using their their investigative journalist skills and tools, along with marketing directors, in order to better serve our customers. No, that's just a long-winded way of saying this company paid you X amount of money to write this article, and you're doing so, and you're marketing it just as if it were an actual news article, and it's selling your customers a product.
You know, there's been something said. I remember at the start of the segment, I'm sorry, Suzanne, we actually have to ramp it up now. Something about dirty politics and the way they do it. Well, you know, look, I've had a look, Suzanne, at my kind of what I see as my competition in the New Zealand market. You know, the blogosphere, the YouTubers, and everything like that. The ones that are far more popular than me, who I guess I'm kind of jealous in a way. I'm prepared to admit it. Attach themselves to particular political leanings. You know, independent journalists really aren't supposed to do that. You know, push specific types of parties and actually be on the inside of them, that kind of thing, in order to maintain your independence. And on the other side, they're just shelling the public full of lies. And I'm sitting here watching the mainstream media lie to people, the left-wing blogs lie to people, and the right-wing blogs lie to people, and I see me telling the truth, and me being the one that gets called the names and ignored. And that's journalism in a nutshell, isn't it? If you're an honest journalist. What was it that George Orwell said? He said, journalism is printing what they don't want you to print. Everything else is public relations.
I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, I was on Charlie McGrath's show. And we were in the midst of a conversation, and I ended up talking about this research paper for an article that I was going to write. However, I couldn't, and I'll explain why, about Tangy Tangerine. My husband and I went and looked up all of the ingredients on the label. They've since changed their labels. And went to PubMed and found scientific studies on the elements themselves. And if you want that study, you can email me at OccupyCorporatism@gmail.com. It's a PDF. I'll send it to you. I've been sending it to people for years. I could never write the article because of the pressure from my peer group not to write the article. So I have the information. You can have it. But I can't write the article because it's not just the government censoring. It's people in the industry censoring each other. Because Tangy Tangerine is huge. And when I was on Charlie McGrath's show, within a week, Jones had the head of Youngevity on his show for like 45 minutes or to an hour, just describing and explaining why elements that are made, that we make nuclear rods for our power plants, are in Tangy Tangerine. Elements that are used in cat leukemia therapies are in Tangy Tangerine, not to mention heavy metals, arsenic, uranium. Not uranium, I'm sorry, but these heavy metals that you wouldn't take these things because it's in the vaccines and it's in the packaging and it's in the food. So why are you going to take it as a health supplement? It doesn't make any sense. And these things are cumulative. They build up in your body. You're not going to think in 30 years that all of those, you know, $50 canisters of Tangy Tangerine that you were taking is what's causing your cancer now.
No more than it occurred to Michael J. Fox why he's shaken so much after all those Pepsi endorsements.
Exactly. You're not going to think back that it was the Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo that has the parabens that caused your daughter to come to you at 42 and say, I have breast cancer. You're just not going to make that connection. But that's a strong possibility because parabens cause reproductive cancers, including ovarian cancer and breast cancer. In fact, when they do biopsies of breast tumors, they're 99% paraben. So it's not the BRCA1, BRCA2 gene, folks. Don't cut your boobs off. It's now, not.
Yeah, and speaking from the male perspective, I concur. And we'll be right. We will have to see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. And Suzanne Posel, thank you very much. Bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There is a number of ways you can contribute. I1, you can get yourself a blue shield, or you can check out our other sponsors like the High Tea Cafe in New Lynn there, or the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga. I love saying Wagga Wagga. It's freaking awesome. Awesome place. And the other way, of course, is just the direct contributions to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you're a Kiwi, there's actually a Kiwi Bank in there, so you can just whip out, you know, set up an AP, $5 a month, $10 a month. Yeah, it's actually really kind of needed right about now. And we will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening.